Amen. Thank you, sir. Well, it may be one of the most oft-repeated Christian phrases, the words of the Lord Jesus. It's possible some churches repeat this every Sunday, and it's on the lips of God's children and has been for two millennia. It's Matthew chapter 6, verse number 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. When you look back at 2016, there were some pretty big historical moments. There were some pretty big news stories. What were the big news stories of 2016? Well, the Cubs won the World Series. That was Rosie's prayer request for the last, I can't tell you how long it's been. But the Cubs won the World Series, and we were happy that they did. That certainly was a huge news story. Of course, the political situation and presidential election was a huge news story. And a lot of people are looking forward to the possibilities of the new year. A lot of people are looking forward to some changes in the political structure. Others, not so much. Some people are wondering, as we mentioned a few weeks ago, if President-elect Trump is going to be a Cyrus or a Nebuchadnezzar, we mentioned a few weeks ago. But nevertheless, it was a huge news story. And there were several other huge news stories, of course, in 2016. I'd like to submit to you, though, that the big news story that not many people are talking about, but that really should be the focal point of the children of God, is found in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 10. God is at work in human history. God has always been at work in human history, and because there would be no human history if it were not for the Lord. It was the Lord who created the heavens and the earth. It was the Lord who created man, who placed him in the garden and created Eve from the rib of man. Someone has well said, and you've heard it too many times, I know, that history is his story. And so, as we look to the future, if you don't look at Matthew 6:10, you're missing the big news story. The big news story, dear friend, is what God is doing in human history, and God is doing several things in human history. Number one, God has brought his people Israel back into the land. 1948, God brought Israel back into existence. Today, Israel is at the focal point of the news. A lot of people are talking about what the UN voted in a week and a half ago. A lot of people are talking about Israel, talking about Israel's occupation of the land, quote-unquote, or supposed occupation. Does Israel have a right to the land? And yet, Israel, for the most part, does not believe the Bible. Most Jewish people today don't believe in God. Many Jewish people today don't believe God's going to keep his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In fact, a lot of Jewish people today would say, "Don't call me chosen. If this is what it's like to be the chosen people of God, I'd rather not be one." And yet, has God forsaken his people Israel? I'd like to present to you today from the Word of God that You and I, as the children of God, should be focused on what God is doing. We're thinking about what we want to do in 2017. Some of us have some situations we're dealing with in 2017, medical situations, family situations, financial situations. Let me just encourage you to think about and focus on what God is doing. Have we forgotten about Him? Have we forgotten about what God is doing? Have we forgotten about Matthew chapter 6, verse 10? Noted, if you would, in your Bibles, "Thy kingdom come." The Lord said, when you pray, pray, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." You know what? Isaiah 51 and 52, verses 1 through 10, really are a commentary on Matthew 6, verse 10. Someone has said that the New Testament is in the Old Testament concealed, and the Old Testament is in the New Testament revealed. Dear friend, there's only one Bible. There's only one Bible. It's the Word of God. It goes from Genesis to Revelation, and it tells us about what God is doing. What is God doing? Well, and how is He doing it? God is going to establish His kingdom. God is going to establish His kingdom on this earth. God is going to fulfill every promise. There's no promise that He won't keep. He keeps every promise. God has made specific promises to His people Israel. God has made specific promises to us, His children, through faith in the Lord Jesus. Didn't Jesus say, "In my Father's house are many mansions"? Did He not say, "If it were not so, I would have told you"? God hasn't told us everything. Mark Twain said, "It's not what I don't understand about the Bible that bothers me. It's what I do understand about the Bible that bothers me." Our big problem is we are apathetic toward the Word of God. We think that the Word of God is somewhat like Duff's buffet. Take a little bit here, take a little bit there, and go once or twice a month to enjoy it. Dear friend, the great sin of God's people is that we ignore the Word of God. The devil doesn't ignore the Word of God. The demons trembled at the Word of God, but we tend to ignore the Word of God. It's the great problem of humanity. It's the great problem of God's children. It's worse for the children of God to ignore the Word of God because we, by God's grace, know better. One wonderful thing about the Lord is that He is the God of all comfort. Noted, if you would, in Isaiah chapter 40. We just have to hit a couple of highlights on our way to chapter 51. Do you mind doing that? Please say no. If you mind doing that, may I suggest you ask the Lord's forgiveness? Because it's all there. It's all goes together. And in Isaiah 40, verse 1, God says, comfort ye, my people, says your God. How is God going to comfort His people? How is God going to comfort us? What's the greatest thing God could do for us? Well, the greatest thing God could do for us, our greatest need, is the need of a Savior. We need forgiveness. We need forgiveness. I need forgiveness. We're all sinners. We need a Savior. We're dying. We're on a terrestrial ball that's nothing really more than a graveyard. Sin has permeated our every DNA molecule. We're dying people. I'm a dying man speaking to dying people. Where can we find comfort? We can only find comfort in our God. And God says, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Note verse 3 of chapter 40. the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of Yahweh. And so John the Baptizer, proclaiming the coming of the Messiah of Israel. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. What's going to happen? Every valley is going to be exalted. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked places shall be made straight, the rough places smooth. Things are going to be right when the Messiah comes, when God is ruling this world. Doesn't God rule the world? Yes and no. The world is in the lap of the wicked one. The world is in the control of Satan. Whatever we say about Satan, we must say that he is the Lord's adversary. Luther said it, the devil is the Lord's devil. Why doesn't the Lord deal with the devil today? Well, he already has dealt with him 2,000 years ago. And yet Satan is still on the loose today, waiting for his judgment. Note verse 5, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together, and the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now you can put your confidence in men, but note verse 6, that's a terrible thing to do. All flesh is grass, and the grass withers and the flower fades. You can put your trust in your own capacity of resources. You have strength, you have energy. Yes, you do, but how long will you have it, and how long will it last? It won't last forever. You can put your confidence in a political person. It would be a shame to do so, because men are failures. And if we think that one man can make America great again, we are sadly mistaken. What America needs is Jesus. What America needs is repentance. What America needs is the forgiveness of God. What America needs is a realization of who Jesus is and what Jesus is going to do and who we are. We're sinners. But in America today, no, we kill the baby in the womb, and we put people who injure a gopher turtle's nest in jail. We put people who injure an eagle egg in jail, and we say that a woman can take the life of her own baby. Dear friend, if the Lord doesn't judge America, he'll have to tell Sodom and Gomorrah he's sorry. God's going to judge this world. God's going to judge this world. God's going to judge you if you don't come to Christ, if you don't believe on the Lord Jesus. In fact, he's already judged you. In fact, you're already condemned. You don't have to wait till you die in order to see if God's going to let you into heaven or not. He's not going to let you into heaven. He won't let you into heaven. There's only one way to heaven, and that's the Lord Jesus. God could care less how sincere we are, how good we try to be. God could care less about our religious zeal and devotion. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. And so the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Note verse 10. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand. Note verse 9, bring good news to the city of Jerusalem. Say to the cities, behold your God. Dear friend, Jesus is God incarnate. Note it, if you would, in chapter 42. The Lord invites us to look at the servant. Note that in chapter 42, verse 1, behold my servant, whom I uphold. God became a man without ceasing to be God. The cults teach that men become God. The cults, of course, are always wrong, because the cults deviate from the word of God. It doesn't matter what a preacher says, it matters what God says. Let God be true and every man a liar. And so this one is the one in whom the Father says, my soul delights. Of which one can God say, I'm happy with him? Only with the Lord Jesus. And here's one man who's never failed. Here's one man who has no blot, no dark spot. Here's one man who is more than a man. Here's one man upon whom the Spirit has been placed upon him. Here's one man who's going to solve the problems of the world. He's going to bring forth justice to the Gentiles. Here's one man who's going to bring hope to the nations. Note verse 4, he will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastland shall wait for his teaching. Here's one man whom the day will come that the world can't wait to listen to him. May God give us a desire to listen today to the Lord as he speaks to us through Isaiah. Who is this one? Well, note it in chapter 45, verse 20. Isaiah 45:19, the Lord says, I'm the one who created the heavens and the earth. You don't think they got here by accident, do you? You don't think chance put the world together, do you? You don't think random chance put your car together, do you? Let alone your eyeball, let alone your respiratory system, let alone your circulatory system, let alone your nervous system. You really don't think random chance put it all together, do you? Here's the one who has not spoken in secret, verse 19. He didn't say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. It's a waste of time to get to know me. No, he didn't say that. He is the Lord. He speaks righteousness. He declares things that are right. He says, assemble yourselves together and draw near to me. If you don't draw near to me, you're wasting your time. You're placing your faith in something else. It's not going to meet your need. Note verse 21, there is no other God besides me. I am the just God and a Savior. There's none besides me. Look to me and be saved. Look to me and be saved. What did Jesus tell the woman at the well? If you knew who it was that speaks to you, you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water. There's only one Savior. His name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to me and be saved. I am God and there is no other. And every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess, saying, verse 24, surely in Yahweh I have righteousness and strength. If your righteousness is not his righteousness, then your righteousness will never satisfy his demand. Only God can make you accepted in his sight, and he did so by sending his son to a cross. Jesus went to a cross, note verse 25, so that he can declare you righteous. In the Lord, all the descendants of Israel shall be declared righteous and shall boast or glory. Who is this one? Chapter 49. He is the one who was named at the time of his birth. He invites us to listen to him. Listen to me, he says. Listen. Didn't the Lord say, listen? Didn't the Lord say in Revelation, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear? Why aren't you interested in the things of God? Because you're not a child of God. Because you're under the spell of the devil himself. Because you're a child of the wicked one. Because your eyes are blinded and your heart is dead, because you're dead in sins and you're separated from God, because the carnal mind is at enmity with God, because the natural man perceiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. You can't understand the Bible apart from the grace of God, apart from the Holy Spirit at work. The only reason I understand the Bible today is the grace of God. God showed me by his grace my sinfulness. It didn't take a whole lot of convincing. Once I saw him hanging on the cross for me, I knew how bad I was. Once I saw Jesus hanging on a cross for me, I knew how bad I was. When I read in the Bible that Jesus died for me, I said, my land, I've got to be pretty terrible. And I am. There's nothing good about me. Note it, if you would, the Lord invites us to listen to him. He says, note it, if you would, that the Lord had called me from the womb, from the inward parts of my mother. He's made mention of my name. What does the name Jesus mean? It means Jehovah saves. And dear friend, if Jesus hasn't saved you, you haven't been saved. You might have religion, but it will do you no good. In fact, religion can hurt you much more than it can help you, because religion paves the way to hell, doesn't it? Religion says you're going to be okay, but you're not. You're not okay. You need a Savior. Note it, if you would, in verse number 5 and 6 of chapter 49, and now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant. Here's the servant of Yahweh. Isn't that the Lord Jesus? Yes. Didn't he say, I came not to be ministered, but to minister? Didn't Jesus say, I didn't come to have people serve me, but I came to serve? Didn't Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, take a towel and start washing his disciples' feet? Didn't Paul tell us in Philippians 2 that the Lord left the glory of heaven, became a man, even became a servant, even to the point of death, even to the death of the cross? Didn't Jesus say, I didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many? Here it is in verse number 5. The Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant. That's John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to bring Jacob back, to bring his people Israel back. Note, and to bring us to himself, verse 6. Indeed, it's too small a thing that you should be my servant just to bring back Israel. I'm going to give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. And so here we have the Messiah. And where do we find him next? In chapter 50, note it if you would, verses 4 through 6. Isaiah 50, 4 through 6. Now, some of God's children didn't think God cared for them. Note it in chapter 49, 14. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me and my Lord has forgotten me. Isaiah 49, 14. Some people really wonder if God loves them. Some people think God loves other people more than they love him. But doesn't the Bible say God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son? And God says in Isaiah 49:15, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes, they might forget, but I won't forget you. God never forgets his children. Note verse 16, I've inscribed you on the palms of my hands. If you want to know how much Jesus loves you, they took his arms and they drove nail spikes through them. He was nailed to a tree. He was accursed for us. Note verse 16, I've inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Note chapter 50, if you would. Verse number 6. Chapter 50, verse 6, I gave my back to those who struck me, my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. Jesus. They spat on me, and I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. Jesus. We would have fought back. We would have started cursing. We would have started hiding. We would have run. But chapter 5, verse 5 of chapter 50 says, I didn't run. I didn't turn away. The Lord entrusted himself to his Father. He set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. He knew that the Father would justify him. He knew that in the end, no one could declare him guilty. No one could say he deserved what he got. because the Father would justify and declare him righteous, and truly that's what happened at the resurrection, declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. Are you going to listen to Jesus? Note verse 10 of chapter 50. Who among you fears the Lord? Do you fear Yahweh? Then you obey the voice of his servant. Note it if you would. It's synonymous. Do you fear Yahweh? Then you obey the voice of the servant. It's synonymous. The servant is Yahweh, the Son. The servant is Yahweh. Yahweh is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's three persons in one God. You say, I don't understand that. That's a good thing. No one does. No one does. No one understands the triunity of God. You think that you and I can fathom God? As I've mentioned on so many occasions, if we could fathom God, how insignificant he would be. Note it if you would. Do you fear the Lord? Do you obey the voice of his servant? Are you dealing with some tough times? Are you walking in darkness and you have no light? That's okay. Look to him. Look to him. Put your trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Put your faith in the Lord. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the servant of Yahweh, who is more than a servant. He is the Son. He is the eternal Son. Put your faith in him. Faith doesn't get you to heaven. Faith doesn't save you. Faith doesn't save you, and faith doesn't get you to heaven. Jesus saves, and he saves by his grace. And he saves by his grace when you place your faith in him. He saves. Faith doesn't save. He saves. That's what his name means. Jehovah saves. God was going to save his people, and he was going to save sinners. And how was he going to do it? He was going to do it himself. And that's what we have in Jesus. Note verse 10. Put your trust in the name of the Lord. Romans 10:32. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried and he's risen, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Joel 2:32. There's only one God, only one Savior. Only one person that can save us. But if you reject him, verse 11, look, all of you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with sparks, I'm not going to put my faith in Jesus. That's just a bunch of malarkey. You walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks you've kindled. And so in the old days, in order to have light, you had to build a fire. And in order to have light, you had to have warmth. And so you're going to do it your own way. You're going to make your own mind up. You're going to reject the voice of the servant. You're going to reject Jesus. And that which you have kindled is going to be your torment eternally. You shall have from my hand, you shall lie down in torment. And so there is a way that seemeth right unto man. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And the Bible's very clear, isn't it? There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And so what does the Lord say to us in our text? He says, listen to me, you who pursue righteousness. Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness. The Lord, the Messiah, is speaking to the remnant. The Messiah is speaking to His children. The Messiah is speaking to those who believe in Him. The Messiah is talking to the remnant. God's not going to save the world. God's not going to save every Jew. God's saving the remnant. And what does He say? Listen to me, He says. You who seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Here they are in Babylon. Here they are in captivity. Here they are in a terrible place, living in captivity in Babylon. And God says, have you forgotten who I am? Think about what I did for Abraham. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah who bore you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. Where did Abraham grow up? He grew up in Iraq. Where did Abraham grow up? In Ur, not far from Babylon. What was Abraham before the Lord called him? He was an idolater. Did he know the Lord? No. He was on his way to hell. But God in His grace called Abraham. God saved Abraham, and He took one man and made a nation. He took one man and made unbelievable promises. He took one man and said, I'm going to bless the world through you. He took one man, and today we're children of Abraham by faith today. God saved us just the way He saved Abraham. God doesn't need any help in saving your soul. And no matter what the situation might be in your life and mine, it doesn't matter because God is capable of keeping His promise. Even if they put an axe to your head, as they did the Apostle Paul. Nero said, I'm going to kill you. Paul said, no, you're not. You can't kill me because I'm never going to die. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. And he that believeth and liveth shall never die. Believest thou this? Sure, your body dies, but you don't. And one day your body's going to come back from the dead. Note it if you would. Verse 3. For the Lord will comfort Zion. The Lord's going to encourage Zion. The Lord's going to comfort His people. The Lord's going to comfort all of her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. It seems as if the Lord has different plans for His people than John Kerry has. It seems that the Lord has different plans for His people than the UN has. It seems the Lord has different plans for His people than what man thinks about His people, Israel. And Israel has all but forgotten, hasn't she, who the Lord is. In fact, the Jewish people today don't want to name the name Jesus. Many of them refer to Jesus as the bastard. The bastard. Not all Jews. Of course, not all Jews. But by and large, He's rejected. And not just rejected by His own, He's rejected by the world, isn't He? But note it in verse 3, the Lord's going to make her wilderness like Eden, like the garden. Her desert like the garden of the Lord, the Dead Sea, the lowest place on the face of the earth, is going to be teeming with fish. Water is going to flow from Jerusalem, and it's going to water the whole land. Today, there's a terrible water shortage, not only in Israel, but around the world. In fact, some people say that the big battles of the future are going to be fought over water, not over other things. Noted, if you would, verse 3, joy and gladness will be found in it, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. It's a little bit different than what the world thinks today. The Lord says, listen, listen to me, my people. Look at it. It's repeated. He says it in verse 1. He says it in verse 4. He says it in verse 7. Listen to me and give ear to me, O my nation, for teaching will proceed from me, and I will make my justice rest in a light of the peoples. That's Isaiah chapter 2. My righteousness is near. My salvation has gone forth. My arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands will wait upon me, and my arm, and on my arm they will trust. The arm of the Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look on the earth beneath. You think that the moon's going to last forever. You think that the sun's going to last forever. I'm telling you that God's word's going to last forever. For the heavens will vanish away like smoke. The earth will grow old like a garment. And those who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever. And my righteousness will not be abolished. Now, who talks like that but Jesus? What did Jesus say in Matthew 24:30? He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not. Jesus said, what matters most is what I'm telling you. What matters most to you this morning? What matters most to you this year? The Lord invites us to come to Him. Note it, if you would, in verse 7. Listen to me, you who know righteousness. He's talking to the remnant. He's talking to the believers in Israel. You people in whose heart is my law, do not fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their revilings. For the moth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm will eat them like wool. We're more concerned about what people think of us than what the Lord thinks of us. We should be more concerned about what the Lord thinks of us than what people think of us. We're more ashamed of the Lord than we are of our sin many times. We're ashamed that we believe the Bible. God help us. Note it, if you would, in verse 8. My righteousness will be forever, my salvation from generation to generation. What's going to last forever? Is it going to be Vegas and L.A. and London? No, it's going to be Jerusalem and God's people that last forever. What did John say in 1 John? Stop loving the world and the things that are in it. Note verse 9, it's time to wake up, people. This is where Paul got that word, wake up, in Ephesians chapter 5. Wake up and put on strength. Who are you living for? Who are you afraid of? Who are you ashamed of? We're more ashamed of the Lord than ourselves. We fear our neighbors more than we fear the Lord. We need to wake up and put on strength. Doesn't the Bible say, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might? Put on the arm of the Lord Jesus. Lord, please hear the prayers of your people as you did in the old days when you brought your children out of Egypt. You're the one who dried up the waters of the great deep. You're the one who buried the Egyptian armies in the water that they drowned in. So it is in verse 11, so the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and look, sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Lord, please answer your promises. Please answer our prayers. Lord, please answer our prayer. And what does the Lord say? He says, I will. Verse 12, I, even I, am He who comforts you. Who are you that are afraid, that you should be afraid of a man who will die, and of the Son of Man, who is just like grass? You forget the Lord your Maker, who stretched out the heavens, who laid the foundations of the earth, who feared you feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, when he has prepared to destroy, and where is the fury of the oppressor? You're afraid of the wrong things, he says. Verse 14. The captive exile hastens that he may be loosed, that he should not die in the pit, and that his bread should not fail. But I am the Lord your God. I'm the one who divided the sea. I'm the Lord of hosts. I've put my words in your mouth. I've covered you with the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens, lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people. God's going to fulfill his promises. He's going to bring his kingdom. He's going to restore his people Israel. He's going to reward his children. He's going to judge the world. He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. He's going to fulfill his promises. And that's what we find here in chapter 51 and 52, but we don't have time today to finish it. So as we begin a new year, as we think about what God is doing in the world, as we think about what the big news stories are, as we think about what our plans and our agenda is for the new year, we would be good to remember what God is doing in the world, what he has done, what he will do, and the promises that he's going to fulfill in the future. Father, we thank you today that every promise is true, that all the promises are yes and amen in the Lord Jesus. Help us to see, Lord, that there's more to life than our little world. We think about what we're doing. We think about what affects us. Help us to see the big picture. Help us to see that this world is heading somewhere. It's heading to judgment. Help us who have been saved by your grace to remember that we're not our own. We're bought with a price. Help us not to live for the pleasures of this world, but for the glory of God. Help us to remember what the Lord taught his disciples. He said, when you pray, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Help us to remember what Isaiah has told us, that God's going to fulfill his promises. Help us to remember that your word is true, that heaven and earth will pass, but your words won't. And what we do with what you've stated, what we do with what you have taught, is what's truly important in our lives. Lord, you asked your friend Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Help us to answer that question too. Help us to live in the light of what you're doing and not in our own light. Help us to live in the light of what you're going to do. Deliver us from living for things that don't and won't ever really matter. May all we do be done for you, for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Well, we thank you for being with us today. We'll dismiss with 694. Brother Jeff.